Chapter 4. How a Christian should conduct himself when God afflicts him with sickness. 1. How should a Christian conduct himself when he is sick? You do not know, dear soul, whether God will let you become sick or suddenly call you away without bodily infirmity. Therefore, I have so often reminded you not to wait with your repentance until you become sick, but to repent daily in your healthy body, to stand in faith and constant readiness, and do not permit yourself to be found at any moment in a situation in which you cannot be sure that you would be saved. Remember the foolish, drunken, rich Nabal, and how quickly the Lord smote him, that he died. Do not forget the rich man who denied poor Lazarus even the crumbs which fell from his table, and how quickly his life came to an end. Remember also the rich miser, of whom the Lord says that he calculated that with his much goods he would live for a long time yet, and could lead a merry life. But suddenly God said to him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided?" Consider also, dear soul, from daily examples of how many people die without having been sick. Surely, my soul, you are no better than they in the sight of God, and you do not know what he may have in mind for you. But when the Lord does afflict you with bodily sickness and lays you on your sickbed, then learn what is thereby happening to you. 1. Recognize the causes of your sickness, namely, your sins. 2. Seek forgiveness of your sins and be reconciled with God. 3. Call upon the Lord for his gracious deliverance and ask God's congregation to pray for you also. 4. Do not despise proper remedies and medicine if you can have them. 5. If the sickness continues very long, then be diligent in patience and beware of impatience. 6. Always keep the comforting assurance in your heart that even in the midst of the greatest weakness and pain, you are a dear child of God. 7. If Satan tempts you, withstand him in faith, and he will retreat from you. 8. If your final hour comes, then obediently surrender yourself. 9. But if the Lord again raises you up, then thank him from your heart. Preserve me, my Lord Jesus Christ, from an evil sudden death, and do not permit me to die in my sins. Grant rather that I may think day and night on my final hour, and stand prepared every moment in true repentance, strong faith, and firm hope, in order that I may be with thee and fall asleep blessed, whenever it is pleasing to thee. But if it pleases thee to afflict me with bodily infirmity, here I am. I know that thou art good and kind, that thou dost not afflict me unless it is good and salutary for me. Grant unto me only this, that I may truly resign myself therein, and be such a patient, whose sickness may redound to thy glory. Amen. 2. Explain to me the above-named 9 parts, so that I may learn well how to conduct myself in my sickness. First, dear soul, consider well. Just as death itself is the wages of sin, so also all sicknesses are God's chastening, with which he afflicts us on account of our misdeeds. Be not, my soul, like the unbelieving, ungodly misers who, when they get sick, lift up their cries of bloody murder, caring only that their business stands still and they can earn nothing. Or they only imagine and think that somewhere they must have eaten some spoiled food or drunk something that was harmful so as to cause the sickness. Remember first and foremost what the prophet says, "Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backslidings shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts." And Sirach says, "He that sinneth before his Maker, let him fall into the hands of the physician." Do you hear that, my soul? You must understand this well. For when God does something and wishes to afflict us, all external medicine must serve this purpose, For when we humans do not want to recognize the sickness of our souls, then God lets us become sick in our bodies, in order that we may also think upon our souls and repent. Yes, dear soul, just as our children may deserve the rod, so we also may deserve punishment as sickness from our God. O thou holy God, if thou wouldst afflict us with sickness as often as we deserve, then we would not be healthy for one moment. But thou dost chastise us only for a while, so that we should ever think on this and fear thy name. God often chastises young innocent children, in order that we, who are older, may lament and repent. Behold, my soul, in that way sicknesses are like messengers from God, which are intended to lead us from sin and to repentance, that we may not perish in our sins. Only remember, dear soul, how securely people live in those days when they have no cross or sickness. They esteem neither God's word nor his sacraments, forget about faith in Christ and about precious prayer. Their souls thus stand in highest danger, for the less a father chastises, the more disobedient his child will become. The more good health and well-being people have, the more secure they become therein. Lord Jesus Christ, here I lie in my sickness and recognize that this is thy fatherly will. For just as no hair can fall from my head without thy will, how should I lose the noble gift of my health if it is not thy will? Behold, my God, thou hast put me into a condition that thou deemest best for me. And just as thou becamest a worm in thy suffering, and not a man, so thou hast made me like unto thee. My God, when thou chastens a person on account of his sins, then his beauty will be consumed as by moths. I thank thee for thy chastening, my God, and am certain that thou dost intend it only for good. My Lord, thou art surely a friend of men, but faithful are the wounds of a friend. Therefore I am certain that this sickness will serve for my good. Whom thou lovest, thou chastenest. Therefore it is good for me that I have been chastened and afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Grant, my God, that throughout my life I may think on thy rod and beware of sin, so that something worse does not befall me. Amen. Secondly, if you know now, dear soul, perceive in your own outward sickness that your soul lies sick in impenitence, then, above all, see to it that your soul becomes healthy. But the health of the soul consists in true repentance, genuine faith in Jesus Christ, through which you receive forgiveness of your sins and a gracious Father in heaven. For through faith you are reconciled with God, are righteous before him, and find peace and joy in your conscience. In that way your soul recovers, even though the body is still sick and very weak. I confess to thee, my Lord Jesus, with broken and contrite heart, that by my sins I have well deserved this sickness, and I am heartily sorry that I have angered thy majesty and brought myself into such misfortune. My God and my Lord, thou wilt not despise my sad and broken heart. Look on me in my distress and heal my broken heart. Forgive me all my sins and cleanse me from all my misdeeds with which I have stirred up thine anger. Lord, my Savior, who spoke so comfortingly to the man sick of the palsy, comfort also my soul and speak into my heart this precious word. Be comforted, my child, all your sins are forgiven. Oh, how dear and precious the word is to my heart, how well it refreshes body and soul, marrow and bone. Yes, Lord Jesus, if thy holy word and promise of grace were not my comfort, then I must perish in my misery. I believe and am certain that through thee, Lord Jesus, I have forgiveness of all my sins, am reconciled with my God, and am an heir of eternal salvation. Amen. Thirdly, call upon the Lord your God for deliverance and implore him to restore you to health. For Sirach says, My son, in thy sickness be not negligent, but pray unto the Lord, and he will make thee whole. Let your need be made known to the entire congregation in order that they together with you may call upon God for help. For thus saith the Lord, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. My soul, if you are too weak to pray with your mouth, then let your groanings go forth from your believing heart, for these go forth strong and powerful, are inexpressible, and do not cease until the Lord beholds and rescues. Lord Jesus Christ, thou hast sent thy messenger to me, namely, this my sickness, and has exhorted me to repent. Behold, my Lord, I recognize thy good will, am obedient, and turn to thee. My God, in return, I send a messenger to thee, namely, my poor prayer and my sighs. O Lord, receive my supplication and let my sighs come before thee. If it please thee, my Redeemer, and if it is good and blessed for me that I should live, then lift me up and grant that I may live a new, healthy, Christian life unto my end. If it is not pleasing to thee that I should live, but that this should be my end, then let it be a blessed end. Then come quickly, Lord Jesus, and take my soul in thy hands. Amen. Fourthly, dear soul, you are permitted to use proper remedies and medicine. For the wise man furthermore said, then give place to the physician, for the Lord hath created him, and let him not depart from thee, for thou hast need of him. But guard yourself, dear soul, that you do not seek physicians instead of the Lord. This is what King Asa did in his sickness. For that reason the Lord gave no blessing to his medicine, and he must die. Do not use forbidden means, and seek not remedy among the sorcerers and idolaters, and among those who wish to speak a blessing in the devil's name, and help through the misuse of God's name. That is what King Ahaziah did when he sought help from the idol Baalzebub at Ekron. Therefore God said to him through Elijah, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that ye go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. In particular, my soul, be on guard against ignorant, foolish doctors who have learned no skill. For man's body is a noble creature of God, and should be held in honor, and not be ruined by neglect. I thank thee, my Lord Jesus Christ, thou faithful physician of my soul, that thou hast helped my sick soul, purified it from sin, and refreshed my heart with the medicine of living comfort. I pray thee, O thou Creator of all things, bless also now this external medicine and the proper means which thou hast created. Lord, if it be thy will, they can be beneficial to me and serve for my health. But if it is not thy will, they can be of no benefit to me. Lord, here I am. Deal with me in such a way that thy name may be glorified, and what is good and blessed for me may be done. Amen. Fifthly, dear soul, diligently pursue the blessed gift of patience, and pray to your God to preserve you from impatience. Oh, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord, for his compassions are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Look to your Savior Jesus Christ and follow his example. How very patient he was in all his suffering. Yes, my soul, do as our little children. When their head hurts, they come crying to mother and lay their sick head in her bosom and ask for help. So also you, dear soul, cry to the Lord, cast thy burden into his bosom, and patiently await his help. Be diligently on guard against impatience, for impatience ruins everything, angers God the Lord, hinders prayer, and makes the sickness all the longer and more difficult. Patience is a noble, healthy plant, but impatience is poison to the heart. Lord Jesus, take all impatience away from me and obliterate it from my heart. Preserve me evermore, that it may never increase within me, so that I do not make my cross greater for myself, but plant this beautiful patience in my heart, that I may follow thy example, be quiet and patient, and wait for thy help. Move the hands of thy clock, let thine hour come, for thy time is the right time, and thy hour is the right hour. Grant that I may ever hope and be strong in sure confidence that thou art faithful and will not permit anyone to be tempted above that he is able to bear. Yes, my Lord Jesus, bring to pass that all my cross and sickness may have an end that I can bear. I know that thou wilt not permit it to be otherwise. Amen. Sixthly, dear soul, if your sickness continues longer than you had imagined, then do not think that the Lord has forgotten you, but know that even in the midst of cross and sickness, you are a dear child of God and an heir of eternal life. For as little as a mother can forget a sick child, just so little can the Lord Jesus forget you. For he has graven you upon the palms of his hands. Yes, my soul, the sicker the child is, the greater the love which the mother bears toward him, and the greater the attention she devotes to him. So also the Lord your God does toward you, giving you this comfort in your heart and saying, Are you not my dear son and my beloved child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my father's heart is troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him. And again, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Lord Jesus, my Savior, I pray unto thee, weeping, that my trouble presses me sore and my sickness continues long. I pray thee, O thou very word of the Father, thou speaker of true comfort, speak this comfort deeply into my heart, that I may ever be thy dear child, even in the midst of great weakness. Yes, in greatest pain and anguish of death, that I may lie in thine arms and on thy bosom, and lift up thy gracious countenance upon me in every moment. Yes, Lord Jesus, since thou didst hang on the holy cross, bearing our pain, anguish, and scorn, and wast forsaken by all creatures, nevertheless thou wert the only begotten Son of thy dear heavenly Father, and remain so to the present time. When dear Joseph lay in prison and saw no sign of human help, yet thou wast with him, didst love him, and rescue him at the right time. When Stephen was led to death, and the stones were flying around his head, yet thou didst love him and permit him to see thee, so that he could say with joyful heart, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. When Lazarus lay before the rich man's door, and no man would help him, nevertheless thy angels were near him, took his soul and carried it into Abraham's bosom and into the eternal paradise. O my God, I am also thy Lazarus, lying here and knocking on thy door with my sighs. The need is indeed very great, my Lord. The pains are many, and the suffering will overwhelm me. But I know for certain, and have 1,000 witnesses in my heart through thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt not forget me. Thine eyes are open upon me by day and by night, and I am thy dear child and an heir of eternal life. Therefore thou art with me in this time of need. Thou wilt deliver me and honor me, either in this or in the next life, as it pleases thee. This is most certainly true. Amen. Seventhly, dear soul, Satan will hardly stay away, but will press you hard with his thousands of tricks, and will wound your heart with his fiery darts. Here it is not advisable for you to engage in extended discourse, thoughts, or disputing with him, for he is much too quick. You will never be able to overcome him with your own powers. Think of our first parents, Adam and Eve. They were deceived by his cunning and miserably enticed, even when they were without sin and were in their uncorrupted powers. How then would you, wretched, corrupted sinner, be able to stand? Look rather to your Lord Jesus Christ and comfort yourself first of all in this, that he overcame when he was tempted, conquered Satan for you, and has given you his victory, so that Satan, as mightily as he may attack you, will never be able to overpower you. Accordingly, look also at your Lord's example, how he soon sent Satan away with sayings from the word of God, and then remained safe. When you too seize the sword of God's word, and resist him steadfast in the faith, he will flee from you. If he says, "Your sins are too great to be forgiven," then strike him with the true word of God, shout and repeat without ceasing, "You are lying, Satan, for it is written, where sin aboundeth, grace did much more abound." If he says, "Christ's merit does not apply to you, you do not belong to the number of the elect," then shout without ceasing, "You lie, Satan, for my Lord Jesus says thus, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And again, "As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." If he makes God's anger seem great to you, then say without ceasing, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And again, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And again, "Father, thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me." If he shows you the abyss of hell, then protect yourself with the word of God and say, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." And again, "I will ransom thee from the power of the grave, from hell. I will redeem thee from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction." If he holds before you the weakness of your faith, then say, "A bruised reed shall the Lord not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench." Again, "A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." If he says, "You cannot pray," then answer, "Yes, but I can groan, and am certain that these groanings of mine penetrate all the clouds." If he says, "Your sickness and cross will continue for a long time, for God has forgotten you," then say, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, saith the Lord." If he says, "You must languish away in your poverty, and you are forsaken by everyone," then say, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." And again, "If only I have thee, my Lord Jesus Christ, I desire nothing else in heaven or upon earth. Yes, when my flesh and my heart faileth, then thou, God, art the strength of my heart and my portion forever." If he says, "Nevertheless, you must die," then say, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth." If he says, "Nevertheless, you must be damned," then say in all comfort, "You lie, Satan, for whosoever believeth in the Lord Jesus Christ shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Lord Jesus Christ, thou mighty conqueror of hell and eternal victorious Lord, strengthen me in my weakness by thy Holy Spirit, that I may take unto me the whole armor of God when the last evil day comes. Give the shield of faith into the hand of my heart. Place on me the helmet of holy hope, and give the sword of thy word into my heart and mouth, that I may rightly withstand and quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and, having overcome all, to hold the field and the victory. Amen. Eighthly and ninthly, dear soul, look to the end of your sickness. If you see that your life is not to continue, then surrender yourself patiently to the Lord, commend your soul to him in every moment, and say with all confidence, yes, sigh with all your powers, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then you will most certainly be eternally blessed. But if he again raises you up, then be thankful to him throughout your life in your heart, words, and deeds. And be sure that the old saying does not hold true with you, "When the sick was healed, he became worse than he was." But remember the word of the Lord when he said, "Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee." Fall on your knees and say from the bottom of your heart, "I thank thee, Lord Almighty God, that thou hast afflicted and chastened me in such a fatherly manner on account of my sins. Yes, Lord, I am glad that thou hast humbled me in order that I might learn what is pleasing to thee. O my God, how often I have thought, as did thy servant King Hezekiah, now I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Now my age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. Now the Lord cuts off my life like a weaver and makes an end of me from day even to night. But I see, my God, that my sickness has not been unto death, but to the glory of God, that thou, my Lord Jesus Christ, mightest be praised thereby. For thou hast been merciful to me, and hast in love delivered my soul. Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back, and extended my life. How well thou hast turned my sickness, and so graciously helped me. I thank thee, my God, yes, I thank thee from the bottom of my heart, that thou hast again raised me up and strengthened me, that I can again visit the house of God, go my usual way, and perform my work. It is thy blessing, Lord, for otherwise I would be done for. Oh, how often I will remember thy chastening rod, how I will be watchful throughout my life and be on guard against thy anger. Help me, Lord my God, that I may also begin a new life with my new health. Grant that I may ever praise thy name, and that thy praise may ever be in my mouth. Govern me by thy Holy Spirit, that I may live to thy glory, and no longer give my limbs over to the weapons of unrighteousness to serve sin, but to the weapons of righteousness to serve thee, my God, that I may sing thy hymns so long as I live, and glorify and praise thee in thy congregation. Amen.